Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Dairy on the Air. I'm Andy Vance, and I'll be your host for today's discussion with Midwest Dairy. For today's episode, we're going to do something a bit different. We're bringing you a replay of a conversation that took place at the Dairy Experience Forum, an industry event that brought together the dairy supply chain to learn more about how to meet the needs of today's consumers and to build demand for dairy. This conversation highlights the ambitious 2050 environmental stewardship goals the dairy industry recently announced. Our three guests are deeply engaged at an individual business level, as well as collectively as an industry, in driving this important work. They discuss the importance of collaboration to achieve these goals and how they're working through the U.S. Dairy Stewardship commitment to quantify industry progress toward its vision to be an environmental solution. Our panelists today include Suzanne Vold, a Minnesota dairy farmer who is also member of the Innovation Center's Environmental Stewardship Committee, and will give us the producer perspective on our panel today. Bob Huffman, president and CEO of First District Association. Bob was recently installed as a member of the Innovation Center's board of directors and is helping to lead those efforts. Brian Zook, Bell Brands USA, is a new member of the Stewardship Commitment Task Force and will help us understand the processor, the brand, the retailer perspective of this whole dairy value chain as it relates to sustainability. Panelists, thank you for joining us and welcome. I know you've been following along throughout the day, and we'll touch on some different threads that we've pulled from talking to our consumers earlier and hearing from Larry a moment ago. But I want to start with getting your interpretation, your definition of what sustainability means to you, your company, your business, your farm. Suzanne, as our farmer member, let's start with you.
Thank you, Andy. On our farm, Dorich Dairy, we have five value statements that we follow. And one of them is leaving it better than when we came. That sums up sustainability for us. Some of you have heard me say before that farmers are in it for the really long haul. We think in terms not of a quarter or of a year, we think in terms of generations. So when we talk about leaving it better than when we came, we're talking about leaving it better for our children, for our grandchildren, and for those who may come after us that we have not even met yet. And it encompasses everything from our how we take care of our cows, how we take care of our natural resources, the land, the air, the water, and how we take care of our communities in that respect as well. So it really is the whole picture for us.
Bob, you're kind of the pivot point as our co-op man in the presentation here. What's sustainability mean to you, to your members, to your organization?
Thanks, Andy. For First District, really, it really adds on to what Suzanne just said. It's one of our key initiatives and definitely falls within one of our core values as well. And that's really in the spirit of doing what's right or doing the right thing. If anybody's listening that hasn't spent any time with a dairy farmer and on their farm with them, you're going to learn very quickly that when it comes to their name, their milk, their quality of milk, and what's sold off their farm, the passion for doing what's right will be the first at any response you get from them. So that's really key for us in our values as well. And then within our role, just from farm to table, it was a really easy decision for First District to sign on and adopt the U.S. Dairy Stewardship Commitment. And for us, that reinforces our commitment to our role in building a sustainable future and what we demonstrate with that commitment to our customers and ultimately our consumers. So First District, it means the world. We definitely we dedicate resources within our cooperative with the right skill set, working with farmers and working throughout our cooperative from end to end, just to really prioritize that social responsibility piece and our progress and really to tell our story. So pretty means a great deal, Andy.
Brian, you occupy a fun space in this chain, hosting some brands that we all know and love and as consumers interact with. What does sustainability mean to you and to your company?
Oh, Bell Brands and our global brands of cheese that we market here in the United States, it uses our alliance to provide a key elements of sustainability that we have to use to communicate with our consumer. Science-based target for greenhouse gas reduction that we've aligned corporately. We use the environmental stewardship module of the FARM program to provide that. our upstream dairy charter and animal welfare charter also utilizes the FARM program. And all three of these elements are needed to communicate to our consumers what they're looking for sustainably produced and responsibly sourced products.
And so maybe let's continue on along those lines. When you flesh out what Bell Brands is doing to make the food system more sustainable, and have you seen any value to the business from taking that on?
Well, there certainly is the a value from a global standpoint of and also in the United States of. We have a net zero initiative here in the United States with the Sustainability Alliance that aligns with Bell for greenhouse gas reduction for scope 3, which is 70% of our emissions in our supply chain is on the farm. So we need to be involved through First District and all the way to Suzanne's farm, Dorich Dairy, to communicate what our consumers are back through the supply chain and align with them. And the Alliance has been allowing us to do that.
Bob, obviously, you play a role in that process, as Brian just alluded to. So what's First District doing to help advance this discussion and make the food system more sustainable?
Well, for First District and our member owners, really it all starts on the farm. You know, our dairy farmers are using the environmental stewardship module and they use that to track and analyze areas and understand where they can make a difference and in many ways also show what dairy farms are already doing to make a great difference and have for years. So both sides of that adds a lot of value from the farm. All of our members are committed to the farm or the Farmers Assuring Responsible Management Program, which to be honest, Andy, it comes with a cost. It's not easy, but again, as I mentioned earlier, you know, it's the right thing to do, and we're fully committed, and our dairy farmer owners are fully committed, and many of them have invested a substantial amount of capital when it comes to digesters, solar windmills, a lot of effort there on the farm side where it all starts. And then from a processing plant, First District kind of as a legacy has always prioritized sustainability and really focusing on key areas such as energy usage, water usage, recycling. To give you an idea, last year, I mean, we reused about 185 million gallons of water just in our plant on our site from reuse. And another big key area that we're proud of and track is our waste. You know, 99% of our waste as a whole was reused into other agricultural uses, and 1% did go to the landfill, and we're continuing to focus on that through continuous improvement. So I would say the second part of the ask I heard there was the value. I think the value for us is really the value within the consumer or customer interface, and that partnership of knowing where we set that priority proactively and not reactively, where we're hitting it up front. And that's, we typically don't have a serious conversation with a customer without discussing topics like this, and what First District does in the spirit of sustainability and caring about our planet, and what we can not only say, but what we can show that's documented and that we're doing and walking the talk. So
great insights. Right. Suzanne, so when you hear from Brian, from Bob, this kind of flows back down to the farm level at some point. What are you doing on your farm? You alluded to some of your values earlier, but what are some of the specifics that you've implemented to try to advance the sustainability discussion?
Well, it all flows back to the farm, and both Brian and Bob brought up some excellent points. The thing that is interesting, and I appreciate you asking, is what have we done? As farmers, we sometimes have been called humble, sometimes we are called stubborn. We don't do a great job of sharing what we're doing on our own operations, mainly because we are independent operators and that's what makes us good farmers. But we need to tell our story. We heard this morning from the consumer group, they don't know a lot about how we take such great care of our animals, how we do things on our farm to recycle water many times, to do all those things. And we as an industry need to do a better job of telling our story. Bob did a great job of giving some examples of things they do at First District. And on our farm, one of the most recent changes we've had is to switch to robotic milking. We planned for about 3 years before that, and it's a huge capital investment for us. So we now use robotic milking units, and we use robotic barn cleaners also to clean our manure from our cows so that we have better cow comfort, better just better things for our farm for the future. But those things come with a cost. Another thing that we did in 2016 was put in a manure composting system. And that basically takes a separator, takes the water out of a manure, puts it through the composter for about 24 hours to clean it, to cook the bacteria out of it. And when it comes out, we reuse that daily as bedding for our cows. So we use the nutrients from the liquid part of manure for a fertilizer for our crops, but we also use the fibrous part of the manure every day. We recycle it every single day to bed our cows and make them more comfortable. Farmers across the United States are doing all kinds of amazing and different things because our dairies are so unique and different. We are different based on our size, based on the climate in the region that we dairy, based on what our product goes to. And if you take the time to look, there are, as I said, many, many amazing things that farmers are doing to be sustainable for now and for the future generations.
Brian, I want to come to you next because I hear Suzanne talk about the costs, the work that's already being done. I'd say that every farmer listening probably feels similarly, that they're doing lots of things on the farm to be more environmentally conscious, be more sustainable, be mindful of climate and so on. But I think you and I probably both listened to that consumer panel this morning and heard some concerns from our customers and customers of your brands. How do we reconcile those things when we get consumer response that maybe isn't as positive as we might like? And what can we continue to do to help those consumers understand the kind of things that Suzanne and other farmers are doing to meet their concerns?
Well, one of the things that we worked with here as we come into the Alliance, and they've allowed me to, you know, be on committees and start giving my input in, is aligning our communication from the dairy industry with our brands and corporately. You know, the last speaker here from IRI says it's not number one, two, three, or four that people are looking at when they're going to go buy a dairy product of how well they do animal welfare or greenhouse environment. It becomes table stakes. It becomes the minimum bar you need to have your food in the grocery store and being bought. And what we've been able to do with the Alliance, it allows all of us, the grocery store, the brands that are in the grocery store, the products that we buy to make processed cheese, like from Bob's First District down through Suzanne, and we're buying directly milk right off the farm. It allows us to align that message. So it's unified, it's the same, and it's consistent. We're delivering the message that the consumer is asking us to be the minimum level they need to bring it into their home and put it in their refrigerator.
Now, if I put on my grad school ag economics hat for a minute, can I go out on a limb and assume that the number one thing for most of those consumers is still price? And so we have to do all of those things you just said, but also meet them on mm-hmm. price too?
Yes, I believe so. I believe Larry did have prices number one.
Yeah.
on his list. Yes, sir. Yes, that's all the consumer asks us to do. Just do it all for free.
Right, and that's a challenge. So Bob, yeah. We know that's reality. I mean, that's, you know, Brian can't wave his magic wand and make those things go away. So how do we as an industry, you know, continue to advance that dialogue, meet customers where they are with some reasonable concerns on things like climate and so on, but also manage the economic realities on the farm? I mean, are we taking on an unsolvable task, or are we up to the challenge?
I think we're definitely up to the challenge, but I think we all need to do more to be up to that challenge. I think there's no doubt about that. Consumers are really interested in nutrition and protecting the planet, and yeah, price. I know Larry said that, but he also made a statement that I wrote down that value for the money doesn't mean cheap. So it's really important that I think Brian said it well on being aligned all the way through, that the focus is really crystal clear and being proactive and listening to what the consumer is saying and what they're looking for. As generations change, that changes as well. So ears have to be wide open, and commitment to drive forward and take on that challenge definitely has to be there.
Suzanne, I know this is a passion area of yours, of how we do a better job of telling that story, so to speak. What are your thoughts on how we continue to work throughout and up and down the value chain, help brands like Brian's communicate to consumers, hey, here's what we're doing. What did you take away from some of that discussion this morning and how we continue to share our story?
I think you're absolutely right, Andy. Both Bob and Brian said it too. We need to do a better job sharing our story, but we also as producers have to find the right balance. There's too much information in some cases. And when we go on social media, oh goodness, there's too much information and you don't know what can be trusted and what can't be. So we need to be transparent. We need to be clear and we need to be concise. And we need the help of both our cooperatives and our retail brands to do that. Because as dairy farmers, we just cannot do it all. We need our co-ops to help tell our stories. And I know that they are doing that. I know that my co-op is certainly doing that very well. And Bob does that at First District. And we need help from retail brands to say, this is where our product comes from. And Bell Brands does a great job at saying, these are farmers that produce our product. This is where your cheese originally comes from. We need to be better at doing that throughout the entire dairy system and to highlight and showcase our differences rather than letting that divide us. We need to celebrate those differences and show our the public how those differences can make us stronger.
Now, Bob, when I hear what Suzanne's sharing there, that leads me to think that we have some opportunities to do what the three of you are doing and your various involvements with the Alliance and so on in working together across the industry. What do you see as the benefits to us working together up and down the value chain on this issue?
I think the primary benefit you get is just the next and best practices, aligning on those and using those as a group with all heads together, same clear, concise focus, like Suzanne mentioned, and focus on driving that continuous improvement. And that demonstrates the progress. And I think it demonstrates to the consumer the commitment of cost that's put in to do that, but the devotion by the whole industry on again, listening, doing the right thing, and really delivering what we already have is one of the best, highest quality types of nutrition you can give for any ages, but delivering that in a way that they have that level of confidence that the entire industry is together as one, working on that and always working for what's next and continuous improvement to continue to make it better and show that we're fully committed.
Brian, in your experience, what's been the benefit to you and Bell Brands from working together and reaching out across that value chain?
For us at Bell Brands, working through the Alliance for us to deliver our own corporate science-based targets, our animal welfare charters, made possible working through the Alliance, we can provide food companies like ourselves with the benefits and requirements that our consumers are demanding from their food in order to make them competitive, sustainable, nutritious, environmental responsible with other snacking options that are in the marketplace.
And maybe I'll start with you on this question before we go into audience Q&A. And as a reminder, members of the audience, you can submit your questions just down at the bottom of your viewing console. There is a Q&A dialogue box there. You can submit those and we'll get to several here before the panel breaks for the afternoon. But Brian, I want to stay with you for a minute. So as you look across other food categories, or you hear from your customers, consumers, what do you think it is we're doing well as a dairy industry? Where are we meeting and exceeding expectations? And where do you think we have some vulnerabilities?
Well, an issue dairy has that maybe other some proteins don't is we have an animal component in the supply chain. If you have dairy, you have to take care of an animal. It's why it's great to be part of this alliance and excited to work with the Suzanne and First Districts of the world. The FARM Animal Welfare Program is above and beyond any other nations in the world for animal welfare. It is internationally recognized as the standard, and it is above any other species in the country delivering on food. I think there's a great environmental story within dairy that we need to continue to move on, and that is the dairy cow itself is one of the best recycling machines we have in taking hundreds of thousands of tons of byproducts and materials that would normally go to a landfill and converting them into healthy, nutritious, and safe food. I think Suzanne just gave you a brief rundown of what they've done just over the past few years for recycling. It's a great environmental story. We just need to do a better job of blasting it out there so everyone can know that.
Bob, your thoughts. What is it that we're, as an industry, doing well? Where do we need to step up our game?
Well, I think doing well, there's no doubt dairy has, as always does today, exceeds in terms of a quality, nutritious type product. And that's from infant all the way up, all ages. And I definitely seen in the numbers with Larry that was highlighted through this COVID process that is real. And that is real at everybody's table, and that was seen. And so no doubt that is probably a definite strength that's going well. I'd also say that dairy, and I think Brian touched on this just a little bit ago, dairy does exceptionally well of product diversity and being in many different options and forms, whether it's snack, whether it's meals, whether it's cheese, drink. The type of variety from diversity that dairy is provided in, getting that nutrition in stomachs is pretty amazing, and it's come a long ways. I think in areas we're vulnerable, unfortunately, and Suzanne touched on this one too. I mean, we haven't done a great job at telling our story and making sure that facts are very clear all the way to the consumer. And I think sometimes that's taken for granted and assumptions are made that, hey, everybody knows those facts, but with a change in generations, I heard social media mentioned earlier. You talk about something that's a key nutrition in our bodies through all stages. That type of a natural product is, it's not something that can be grown in a lab. I mean, from fact to fact standpoint. So I think our vulnerability in dairy, that's a key area that we stand now. And we definitely have to do a lot better job of telling our story, telling the facts, and making sure consumers understand the type of products that we put out on the shelves.
So we're going to start taking through some of the audience questions. And Suzanne, I want to start with you. And actually, Bob teed up a pretty good question from the audience member. So each of you have mentioned sustainability. I asked you right up front what it means to you, how you define it. All three of you have also mentioned that we don't do a very good job of telling our story on this issue of sustainability and what we're doing to be a more sustainable part of the food chain. So how do we do that? What is it that we need to do? Do you have additional ideas of where each of us at our stage in the value chain can help tell that story to consumers and help sell our industry and what we're doing?
Suzanne, well, I certainly do have some ideas. I've got 2 points to that, though. The first thing is that it does take all of us, because on our farm, we're already pretty busy. I do not have time to be a communications manager as well as a dairy farmer. So that's where I depend on people who are in other parts of the industry, like my cooperative, like the brands that my cooperative sells to make that job a little bit easier for me. Because there are people at First District who are really great at communications, and I'm sure same at Bell Brands, just as there are at my cooperative, Land O'Lakes. They can help us with that. We've also got really talented people in our promotion organizations, like Midwest Dairy Association, who can do a great job on helping us tell our story, helping it get out to the appropriate channels. The other thing that I just like to say is that there are so many ways to tell your story. Social media is one way, and there are a lot of dairy farmers who are active on social media telling our stories, and that's great. But if social media isn't your thing, that's okay too. There are people who are in our local communities, and before COVID, we could have gone to present to a Rotary Club or a Lions Club and tell our stories. Maybe not so much right now while we're in the stay-at-home mode, but you can write letters to the editor of your local paper. There might be a chance to be interviewed or have some pictures taken of your farm. There are lots of different ways that we can tell our stories, even giving tours, whether in real time with people or virtual online. And again, our promotion groups have the technical and communications know-how to help us do that. The other thing is that it takes time. None of these things happen overnight, whether it's setting up a tour for school kids on your farm or setting up a website to tell your story on social media. All of those things take time and effort. And so we have to be patient with ourselves as we get those things set up. So reach out to the other places in your industry if you're a farmer. If you want help setting up a website, contact your state and regional promotion group. Contact your cooperative. Ask for help, because there are lots of people out there who are ready to help us do that.
Brian, would you share your perspective on that? How can we do a better job? What are some of the ideas you see, you know, based on your interaction with consumers and retailers?
There's some benefits to the dairy protein in the snacking aisle that need to be brought out and done better, and we're trying to focus on that as well. The plant proteins are ones that are getting an awful lot of press, and we've seen that wane after it's peaked. And we're now getting back to, as Bob alluded to earlier, the better nutritional components of the dairy snacking value and for meals as well, just the overall general nutrition of dairy products. And that's been what's bringing people back. I think Larry previously talked about is what's bringing people to increase their dairy consumption here. And if we can focus on that, maybe help retain that new dairy customer that we picked up over the past 3 months.
Bob, I've had a couple questions come in from the audience that I think sort of fit together. I'm going to try to summarize them. So are there any tools out there we're using or that are available that we can use to track sustainability on farms and provide accurate sort of farm level data, but, you know, keeping in mind we probably have some privacy concerns and so on, but are there tools that we can use to track sustainability on the farm and provide some sort of overview information to farmers? And at the same time, you know, as we advance, more and more of us are using wearable tracking technologies, very individual cow level data gathering that we have, sensors and so on. Is that all part of the process as well? Is there a future where we can harness this technology to quantify the story?
I think it absolutely is. I think technology is going to be the key to that. There is a lot of technology out there now, and there is a tremendous amount of tools that we pull from at First District and that are offered out to the co-ops that are part of the farm program to lean into and get to those tools and get guidance and assistance as well. And then the stewardship modules offer a lot of ways to get to that get all the way down to the farm level to help out with that. But I think the key answer here is technology is what it is, and it's going to continue to gain traction and provide more real-time access, real-time availability for people to assist, and like from a cooperative standpoint, when we have member service reps and different types of organizations working directly with the farmer at the farm level, you know, that real-time access and conversations that technology is going to bring in some ways is out there, but I definitely feel that we will see a sharper focus and a little higher technology coming to help with that.
Brian, maybe along those same lines, but broadening it out for you as retailers, as individual brands, maybe as investors, all add to their list of expectations. You know, and we set different pledges. We talked about our own industry's pledge to get toward zero carbon and so on. Is there an expectation that we need to be able to quantify that with real data as opposed to, you know, pixie dust and wishes? Is this something you'll be looking for as a brand moving forward, is how we quantify our advancement?
Definitely. You have to have credibility in that message. The environmental stewardship module is recognized by the Carbon Research Institute, which is an international standard that we use for Bell at our science-based target initiative. And it's really worked well that with our science-based targets internally with our own company, which is global, you know, we source dairy on many different continents, that we have to have an internationally recognized accreditation. And the environmental stewardship module of FARM complies with that and is recognized with that. And the folks at the Innovation Center need to be applauded for aligning with that before they ever rolled it out to the dairy. So they've done a very good job. And that gives us the credibility, not only to the US consumer, but also, because we are a global world now and an internet-connected world, it helps us as we compete against all other proteins globally.
Suzanne, I want to come back to the farm because that's where it all starts. So you've obviously been a pretty heavy adopter of technology in your shop with the robotic aspect, your milker, your barn cleaners, and so on. Have you given thought, or what are your thoughts on using the technology that's out there to help you, for lack of a better term, quantify your farm's carbon footprint?
We do use that technology. And just like Bob said, our co-op uses the FARM ES module, FARM ES, and we are evaluated and tracked, and our data, as well as every other farm whose co-ops are part of that process, is amalgamated and put together. And I do want to assure farmers that if you're asked to participate in FARM ES, and you've already been participating in FARM for some years, please feel confident that your data privacy will be protected. That is something that our committee and our industry takes very, very seriously. In today's internet age, we worry that our data can be used by the wrong people. And the people within our industry are all using it to better the position of dairy, to show that those data proof points that Brian needs to sell that product to consumers, that Bob needs to prove that First District's products and farmers are participating in these programs. But we also, as an environmental stewardship committee and as an industry, as part of the Innovation Center, take very seriously our right to privacy. So things are compiled and we look at the data from an industry basis, not from an individual farm basis. Your co-op should be sharing that individual data with you, like I'm sure Bob's employees do back to individual First District members. But that data is to be used for you alone. And when we compile it and use it as an industry to show that we are doing what we say we're doing so that Brian can use that to sell product, it is compiled and amalgamated so that we are together and not pitting region against region, farm against farm, all those kinds of things. So yes, when you're asked to do the Farm ES survey, please participate, because the more data we have, the more the better job we can do as an industry of showing what a great job we are already doing in being sustainable. There's more work to be done, no doubt about it. but we are already doing some amazing, wonderful things.
Panelists, I'm grateful to you for your insights, your depth of expertise. One of the things that I pulled from this is just how interconnected all of these threads are. When we talk about one issue, maybe it's something a consumer raised in our panel this morning, it connects back to, we all said, hey, maybe we need to do a better job of telling our story. Well, how do we do that? We have to be credible. Maybe the technology can help us quantify that and so on. It's all a thread, a fabric of interwoven threads. And so I thank you for sharing that and helping us suss out some of those concepts and details. I want to thank Suzanne, Brian, and Bob for a thought-provoking discussion. From what we've heard today, we know that dairy is already proving to be an environmental solution. It's exciting to learn more about the ongoing collaboration underway and how the industry is taking the next step to work towards setting environmental stewardship goals and to building on best practices. In closing, I'm Andy Vance, hosting Midwest Dairy's Dairy on the Air podcast. For you, the listener, thanks for joining us today. If you want to hear more about various issues affecting the dairy industry, subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platforms, including Stitcher, Spotify, and iTunes, or you can check out our website, Midwest Dairy, for future episodes. Until next time, have a great day.